I'm really pleased to be joined in the studio today by Bryony Hudson, the director of Amersham Museum. The museum is our September charity of the month here on Chiltern Voice, and it's such an important part of the local community, telling the stories of Amersham's past while making history come alive for visitors today. Bryony, welcome to the show.
It's so lovely to be here, and thanks for your support this month, as always.
You are welcome. Right, so for anyone who hasn't visited before, what makes Amersham Museum such a special place?
Well, I'm a bit biased, obviously, but lots of things. I think our location right there in Old Amersham is really special. The landscape around us hasn't changed much, certainly down in the valley there. But what's really special, I'd say, is our building. So we're in probably the oldest residential building in Old Amersham, built in about 1480.
Gosh, I didn't know that, actually,
yeah,
Bryony.
Absolutely. So, you know, just when you walk in, that sense of history, before you even start to investigate the displays or the activities or the events.
I'm in Old Amersham a lot and I do see it's gorgeous. So as you said, it has such a rich history. Can you share a couple of artefacts in the museum that visitors are often most surprised by?
That's quite a hard one because we've got about 12,000 items in our collection. Of course, not all of them on display. The first thing that pops into my head that everyone of all ages loves is our Glis-Glis. So a Glis-Glis is an edible dormouse.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, I've heard of those, yeah.
They escaped from the Rothschild family's menagerie about 100 years ago or so. And so although they're from Eastern Europe originally, they live in this area and only this area in the UK. And mainly they turn up in people's lofts causing absolute havoc. You know, they bite through electrical cables, all sorts. So we have a stuffed one in the collection because it's part of the local history. And we have it mounted up on the ceiling looking down at you. So people come up the stairs to see our timeline and suddenly notice. In fact, we've got a bit that says, look up.
Yeah.
And there is the Glis-Glis. So that, as I say, popular with all ages.
I can imagine. I think my neighbour had a problem with a Glis-Glis. So Yes, I love it. Right, you were so kind coming here straight after work, and I know you were running the Young Curators Club. Can you tell us a bit about what happens there? And I've heard they've been working on a new garden display called the Plant Pharmacy, which opened in June and is running to the 2nd of November?
Yeah, that's right. So the Young Curators Club is a group that I run of 14 to 18-year-olds who come along once a fortnight, help me out effectively with all sorts of things going on in the museum. Some of them are doing their Duke of Edinburgh, one of it volunteering. Some want to do or perhaps think about a museum career. And one of the things exactly, as you say, is we do projects. And the one we were working on earlier in the year was looking at our amazing garden, which has about 100 medicinal plants in it. Absolute oasis in Old Amersham. And most of the plants in the garden were used historically, but some of them were also really key to medicines today. And so we investigated about 10 of those plants to look at how they're used in today's medicines and to add that additional story into the garden so visitors can learn about the history, but also the current use.
Sounds like the Young Curators get a real hands-on experience with history. Can anyone join the curators?
The challenge with it at the moment is we've got a waiting list. It's
right.
So popular, but we've got lots of other opportunities for people to get involved. So
So I know you run that, but obviously part of the much wider team of the museum is largely run by volunteers. So how important are those volunteers to everything you do?
They're absolutely crucial. So we have 4 part-time paid staff and around 120, 125 volunteers. So they are the main part of the team. The museum started purely as a volunteer team and has only more recent in its history taken on paid staff. And they're involved in absolutely anything and everything. So if you come in, you know, to visit the museum, the people on the front desk greeting you, selling you things from the shop, telling you about the history, answering your questions, all volunteers. The gardeners are volunteers. Our web editor is a volunteer. Our social media officer is a volunteer. We have a trustee board. They're all volunteers. They drive our mobile museum van, which you will have seen.
I have seen.
They help with schools visits. They run guided walks, reminiscence sessions. I could go on and on and on. You couldn't do it without them.
I know. I've seen quite a few of them because when Chiltern Voice go to fates and village shows, they're there and they're so lovely. And
brilliant.
They really do love the history as well. They're brilliant. Mm. Now, I know we have many local talented artists in the surrounding areas. How does the museum support them?
We support them in a variety of ways. For example, we have a monthly makers hub for professional artists and craftspeople, so they can come along, meet other people in the area and get involved that way. Our current exhibition, which is called Landmarks, is all about celebrating Chilton's creativity. So alongside historical works of art, we've also got things that have been made just this year, and some of them specifically for our exhibition by local artists and makers. We stock products that are designed by local makers in our shop, local artists. So lots of different ways that we get involved.
You don't realise when you see the museum on the high street, there's so much that goes into running it and supporting the area. It's just wonderful. Now, I have to ask, obviously there's the films about museums at night. With a building that old, do you ever get any ghost stories or spooky things going on at night?
I haven't ever experienced anything, which I know is a bit of a disappointment. You know, when I'm there on my own and I lock up, it doesn't feel scary. I have had other people tell me that they felt there has been a bit of a presence, but we haven't got any hard and fast evidence, I'm afraid. But we do have witch marks to keep us safe, which are very ancient, similar age to the building, carved into the beams, intentionally put there by the Tudor inhabitants to keep the ghosts away. So maybe that's why.
So can people see those when they're walking around?
Yeah, they're upstairs next to our Tudor table.
Well, that's fascinating and maybe just a little bit spooky too. Well, we'll be back to talk about the challenges of running the museum, how you can support it, and what events are coming up soon. So don't go anywhere.